Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Our Father and our God in heaven, we draw into thy holy presence, and in through the Saviour's precious and all-worthy name, we thank thee, O God, today for our Saviour, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us. And it is in that precious name that we can draw nigh unto thee. We come, O God, today and praise thee for who thou art. We thank thee, O God, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none other. We come, Lord, to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. And eternal God and our Father, we pray that this day, as we would come to sing thy praise and hear the word of God, we just pray for thy blessing. We ask, O God, that as we would lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to thee, O God, we pray for the help of heaven. We ask, O God, that we might know what it is to worship thee truly in spirit and in truth. We ask, O Lord, for thy servant, the Reverend McKee, as he would open the scriptures of truth to us today. We ask, O God, that you'll give him that help. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God will so anoint him. Lord, we pray for help, Lord, that he needs this today, we pray. Eternal God and our Father, we pray as well for the hearing. And Lord, attentive to the Word of God, we just pray, Lord, you'll come upon us. And Lord, make this time to be a very blessed time, a hallowed time, O God, we pray. Most of all, we pray that thy name would be glorified and honored through everything that would be said and done. Take to thyself all the glory. Hear and answer these our petitions, for we pray them in the Saviour's name and for his honour and for his glory alone. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and we will read from the verse number 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 9, reading to the end of verse 14. And he, that is Christ, spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace.
It's good to be here tonight to be able to share with you God's word. We're looking tonight at Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. In Luke's Gospel, it is a chapter of seeking. In verses 1 through 8, we have a widow seeking vengeance. Verses 9 through 14, a publican seeking mercy. Verses 15 to 17, parents seeking for their children to be brought to Jesus. Verses 18 through 25, a ruler seeking eternal life. Verses 26 to 30, a crowd seeking answers. Verses 31 through 34, the Saviour seeking to giving understanding to the disciples. And then verses 35 to 43, a blind beggar seeking his sight. I wonder what it is in life you're seeking for. I wonder what your heart's desire is. Well, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, God's word commands each one, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We're going to look at the two men recorded there in verses 9 through verse 14, who came to the temple. And outwardly, it seems that they came to worship the Lord. But the Holy Spirit does reveal to us some truths about them. And very simply tonight, I want to speak upon the topic, two seekers in the house of God. Firstly, I want you to notice their entrance. Notice with me, please, their entrance. And it says here, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Holy Spirit records for us their backgrounds and how they are identified by society. First of all, we see their differences. First of all, we see one was a Pharisee. Now, the word Pharisee simply means the separated ones. And they were separated from the people for the study and interpretation of the law. Now, historical records tell us that often they took great pride in their character. And of course, they did try to live very outwardly holy lives. They were admired by many for their lifestyle and for their upright character. In contrast to this, not only was there a Pharisee coming to the temple, there was a publican. He was a tax collector of the New Testament. Now, that tax collector working for the Roman government was a social outcast in Israel because of his employers and also because of his actions. They were notorious for asking for more than ought to have been paid in tax. They're classed in Scripture along with sinners, harlots, and the heathen. They were outwardly sinful and known to others because of their ungodly lifestyles. So here we have two different men, one who is regarded as upright in society, one who is an outcast of society. But notice the thing that links them both, they're men. And the Word of God makes it very clear to us that each person that's born into this world is born with the same nature, irrespective of their outward condition or social status. The Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all born as sinners. Maybe you can identify with one of these men tonight. Maybe you're someone who's looked up to in your family, in your society, in your workplace. Maybe you're someone who really is talked about because of the bad things that you do. To all, whether you're upright in society or whether you're a downcast in society, we say to you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Here we see their entrance into the house of God. But secondly, let us look at their entreaties or their prayers. And if you look down there, it says in verse number 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Let's look at this Pharisee's prayer for a few moments. Notice the one to whom he prayed. It says there in verse number 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, his words were directed to God, but his words were not accepted by God. His words went no further than the ceiling. He was praying with himself. Is that like many people today? They take part in public worship and it appears that they're worshiping God or they're singing to the Lord or they're praying on to the Lord, but the reality is they're not. You see, this man was worshiping a God that does not exist. This man thought that his God should be pleased with his outward appearance, with his works, with his comparing himself to another sinner and coming off in a much, much better way. But the God of Scripture is not like that. When we read the Word of God, we find that the one whom we must approach through Scripture is to be approached in humility and in reverence. He is to be worshipped. He is to be praised upon the ground of the blood sacrifice. This man was simply praying with himself, and what a waste of time. Friend, if we are going to have a right relationship with God, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to know heaven as our eternal home, then we must come to God God's way. We must approach him the only way that God has ordained for men and women, boys and girls, to approach him. And that is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his precious blood as a covering for our sin. You know, there's some people and they worship a God who overlooks and ignores sin. That's not the God of the Bible. There's some people today and they worship a God believing that he will let everybody into heaven. That's not the God of the Bible. We must be careful that the one whom we worship is indeed the God as revealed in Scripture. Matthew Henry actually said, "The proud man is his own idol because he worships himself and expects others to do the same." And we see pride here in this man, don't we? We see him standing up and he's looking down at this outcast of society, this sinner, this publican. And he looks down as though, "I'm not like him. Oh, Lord, thank you that I'm not like him." Friend, that's a heart filled with pride. We have to come before the Lord in humility, and we must come with reverence. Notice also what he prayed about. He prayed about himself. "I thank thee that I am not." I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And his prayer was all about himself. Now, it's not wrong to pray about yourself. Indeed, we ought to pray for ourselves. But in the light of God's word, he was not praying a scriptural prayer. He was just simply comparing himself to someone else. God's word does not ask us to do that. We are asked to compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God tells us that we all come short of the glory of God. We fall short of God's standard, of God's holiness, of what is acceptable to God. Yes, we can find people that perhaps we live a more outwardly righteous life than, but God doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to come and measure ourselves by the standards of the Word of God. And we'll find that we are indeed sinners in the sight of a holy God. You know, this man said, "I do this and I do that." The Lord does not ask us to do anything to earn or merit favor with him. We are asked simply to trust in the provision that God has made and the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners as their substitute on the cross of Calvary. Maybe your hope of heaven tonight is simply that you're not a bad person or you're not as bad as other people. The only hope that will last, the only hope that will suffice for heaven, for eternity, for peace with God, is the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved alone by resting and trusting upon what Christ has done for you upon the cross of Calvary. But there was another man praying that day, and that was the publican. And verse number 13 says, "The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Here is a man who's coming with a humble spirit before God. He's acknowledging the holiness of God. How do I know he's acknowledging the holiness of God? Well, by his stance. He's standing afar off. He feels almost unworthy to come right on in to the midst of the temple. He's just at the outskirts. By his stare, he would not lift up so much as his eye toward heaven. By the smiting upon his chest, and by doing that, he was publicly professing that he felt unworthy. By his speech, he calls himself a sinner. And you know, whenever the Lord allows us to feel the burden of our sin, this is exactly what we will be like. We'll feel unclean. We'll have no pride in ourselves. We'll feel as if we want to be rid of the burden of our sin. And we will acknowledge that we are sinful. I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life when you've acknowledged before God, "I am a sinner"? I remember the first time I realized I was a sinner. I was 7 years old. I was in the hospital bed in the children's ward in Mid Ulster Hospital in Mockerfeld, and you know, that night, for the first time in my life, I felt unclean. I realized I was a sinner. And praise God, that night, because of faithful Sunday school teachers, I knew exactly what I needed to do to be cleansed from my sin. And I simply called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, to come into my heart, to be my Savior. And that night, as a seven-year-old, I confessed my sin before the Lord. That's exactly what this man is doing. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In fact, in the original Greek, it's this sinner. God, be merciful to me, this sinner. He felt as if he was the only one in the world who was unclean before God. And anyone who's saved knows what that feels like. When conviction comes upon your heart, you feel as if you're the most unclean, sinful person. But praise God for that, because that means we'll seek a Savior, and we'll seek cleansing, and we will seek forgiveness. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, said Paul, of whom I am chief. Maybe tonight you're struggling under the weight of your sin, the guilt of your sin, the uncleanness of your sin. Maybe tonight you feel as if you are the most sinful person in this world. What do you need to do? You need to do what this man did. You need to plead for mercy. He said, God, be merciful to me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What does that word merciful mean? Well, it could also be translated, be propitious. He was calling on the Lord for propitiation. And that simply is the turning away of God's wrath against the sinner by means of an atoning sacrifice. You see, God is angry with sin and with sinners. But in his love, he has provided a way for his wrath to be turned away from the sinner. And whenever someone is entrusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they call on the Lord for mercy, for that covering that only the blood can bring, then God's wrath is turned away, and no longer is God angry with the individual. But praise God, he accepts them. He rejoices in them. They bring joy to him because they're now covered with the righteousness of Christ. And that's what every sinner needs. That's what the Scripture is all about from Genesis to Revelation. There is no new message. It's the old message that still stands the test of time. God's Son has died for sinners, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The only hope I have of heaven is that when I called upon the name of the Lord, my sins were covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way anybody will get into heaven, is by coming the way of the cross. You see, this publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was he asking? Lord, I want the provision that you have made for sinners to be mine. And that's what you need to do right now. As you sit here, as you watch this program, call on the Lord to make the provision he has made your provision, to make Christ your Savior, to make his blood your ransom. And praise God, he will hear and he will answer. Something like this, Lord, I know I'm nothing but a sinner. I feel like the worst of sinners, but I'm asking you to show mercy to me. I'm asking you, Lord, to turn your anger away from me because of the sacrifice of Calvary and the blood that makes atonement for the soul. You know what the Bible says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be sure tonight that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. We've looked at the entrance of these two men to the house of God. We've looked at their entreaties. But finally, let us look at their exit from the house of the Lord. Verse number 14 says, I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, those men left, and they were very different when they left. Maybe not outwardly, but the Word of God and the Spirit of God reveals to us their heart. One left saved by the grace of God. One left lost in their sin. One left as a child of God. One left as an enemy. One left free from sin. One left in bondage. One left with the peace of God. One left with pride of life. One left justified. The other left condemned. The word justified describes this man's legal standing before God. He had been declared righteous. We know certainly because of his birth, and all have sinned, that he was not righteous. We know by his actions he was not righteous. So how could this man be declared righteous? Because the wonderful truth is that when a man or a woman or a boy or girl is saved by the grace of God, the sin is transferred to the account of the Savior, and his righteousness is transferred to our account. Thank God we no longer wear the rags of our sin, but we're robed in the righteousness of Christ. I ask you tonight, as we draw to a close, what are you wearing tonight? Are you still in the rags of your sin, just the way you've been born? Or have you been robed with the righteousness of Christ because you've turned from that sin, called on the Lord for mercy and trusted in him? Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means no matter what happens in this scene of time, whenever the Lord should call us from it, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's all that matters. Nothing matters but salvation. When the race of life is run, nothing matters but salvation when the end of your days has come. Why not trust him now? He's a wonderful Savior who's ready and willing and able to forgive. Let's unite together in prayer. Oh, Father, we pray that thou wilt take the words that have been spoken today. And we ask you, Lord, what has been of thee will live on in the hearts and minds of men and women and young people. And Lord, even bring forth fruit. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. We thank you, Lord, there is salvation full and free. We thank you there's a Savior who's ready and willing and able to save. And we thank you that we're still living in the day of grace, day of salvation. Oh, Lord, I pray that even through this word, precious souls will put their trust in our wonderful Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name for his glory alone. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.